Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with our Survivor 44 Episode 9 recap, and we just saw Kane go home in pretty weird vote. A lot to break down here. We no longer have the extra vote from Lauren. We no longer have Jamie's fake idol, which I'm not mad about. And we have, I think, a line drawn in the sand here that Tika definitely liked Soka more than they liked Ratu. That was weird. All right. Anyway, nice old school feeling episode. A lot going on here that was laid back. And the editors, as John Millsap pointed out to me about 5 minutes in the episode, actually left in a line that said, the best part of Survivor is the days where we're just hanging out and take a breath. And it's like, what a concept.
A whole scene. My gosh. Yeah, that was great. And for those of you who are patrons who, for whatever reason, may have listened to our retrospective in the past hour, when you could have been watching Survivor, you would know that we were talking about the potential of 90-minute episodes and how that could lead to more conversations like this. I feel very confused by who voted for who, but again, like last week, in a very appropriate manner. I'm very okay with it. I feel like Carolyn got, like, we got the story that we've been waiting to hear from Carolyn in a really, I think, good and natural fashion. And to especially see that transition into Franny talking about herself a little bit, I thought was really, really nicely done. And I appreciate, you know, like, we've known that Carolyn has said the story. She's told us, you know, in passing, and this felt like a really good way to celebrate her.
Yeah, I totally agree. It was the most normal thing we've seen from Carolyn all season. And I mean that in a positive way, because we've just seen her. It's crazy, 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 crazy. And they finally gave us a moment that let her step back. And guess what? After watching that, I'm like, she could absolutely win. I've been saying all along, she can't win the game. But right then and there, she sat in the group and she talked to the group about something real. And we saw their reactions. And we heard how she felt about it, and we heard how they felt about it, and we saw what it meant to her and what it meant to them. We haven't seen that from her all season, and we finally saw it, and it felt good to finally see that, because we're giving depth to a character that, while we were all having a very fun time watching, didn't have that much depth. We knew that there was depth. We didn't know the level of depth. And I think what's all the more enjoyable about this is it wasn't your typical kooky old lady scene of like, oh, I just got picked on, and oh, I just did this, and like crying and feeling like I'm just an outsider and blah, blah, blah. It's like, I have my family and I met my husband at AA and we have a son and I decorate for Halloween and it's creepy, but it's fun. And like, that was so refreshing because it just felt real. It didn't feel like it was being manufactured for TV. I thought it was really perfectly timed by Survivor.
I actually thought maybe this is somebody who has had the Carolyn Winners edit in her head since Carolyn stumbled through the very first scene of this show. But to me, it almost felt like capitalizing on it, because from my perspective, she's been telling us, like, I'm playing, I got this idol, people are underestimating me. And now we're being shown, she's telling us why she thinks people are underestimating her. And I got like total Fabio energy from what she said. I'm having fun out here. And people think I'm just having fun out here, but I'm actually playing to win. And then, my God, when she was walking up those rocks, I was like, who has eyes on Matthew right now? This is not good.
My wife literally sits there and goes, did they learn nothing from Matthew? Like, they all know Matthew got pulled out of the game.
I loved it. It was such a good... like Easter egg. I thought, I hope Matthew watched that and laughed. I thought that was great.
It was funny. I just can't believe that they're doing it. Like, what did you all not learn? My God. it was really good. I mean, I'm all in for the Carolyn edit. I think it's been fun. And like, look, I know that every season you're going to have characters. We're never going to have a season where like Alexa got 3 confessionals because she was voted out first. Then I got 6 because I was voted out second. And then you got 9 because you were voted out. This is never going to happen. We're never going to have it totally even. But I do feel like people are starting to come into their own now, and I'm starting to get to know them. Kane was somebody I never really felt like I knew. I knew he loved Dungeons and Dragons. I knew he was nerdy, but it totally makes sense that we didn't get to know him that well since he got 9th place.
I feel like we got to know him strictly personally, which is actually really interesting because we never get to know anyone like that.
Exactly. And like, I think that worked, but I also think that for your characters who are going to eat up most of the screen time, we need all three layers of them. We need their outward personality. We need their normal personality. We need their deep, dark secrets. Mm-hmm. Carolyn, we finally got the deep, dark secrets, right? Like, we finally got to the heart of that. And I know it does. Deep, dark secret doesn't mean it has to be dark. It just has to be like, what are they hiding from people that they're not going to talk about every time they just walk in a room? What are you not going to know about them immediately? And I think we finally got that from Carolyn, which was huge. We don't need to get that from Kane. We don't need to get that from Josh. We don't need to get that from anybody else who's not going to win this season. I don't think Carolyn's going to win necessarily, but like, when she, her and Jam Jam and Carson are your big personalities, we need all three layers. And we finally got it from Carolyn tonight. And I was a huge, huge fan of the way they did that.
Yeah, I thought it was great. And I think I am somebody who does think that Carolyn can win, but I think with how tied she and Jam Jam are to each other, she cannot sit next to him because this was a, like, Jam Jam looking us in the eye and saying, when I want someone gone, they're gone. And that happened for the fourth time. And I didn't even really, like, not that I was counting, but clearly he was. And that is, like, that's, like, Godfather stuff, you know? And he's playing it, and he's, like, and he's cute, and he's silly, and it doesn't seem like it, but every person who votes for him dies.
Yeah, they die. I love that. I mean, they do though. And that's why I keep saying this whole time, like, the only way, I still believe from the bottom of my heart, even after tonight's good episode, the only way Carolyn can win is if she gets rid of Jam Jam. She can't beat Jam Jam at the end. She can beat Danny. She has a better story than Danny right now. She can beat Franny. She has a better story than Franny. Honestly, Franny's story isn't that good to the people out on the island. She's won two immunities. But the reason we're so invested is because of her and Matt. And we think that's adorable. The people playing on the island don't give a shit. Like, that's not that exciting. So I think Carolyn has the second best story on the island right now. The problem is her closest ally in the game keeps getting what he wants. And if he continues to get what he wants, she's going to be sitting next to him. And she's going to be a very, very solid runner-up. We've seen a lot of solid runner-ups in Survivor. That's where Carolyn is heading if she doesn't get rid of Jam Jam. I even think she can beat Carson. Because I think after what we saw tonight, there's a depth to Carolyn that Carson, unfortunately for him, just due to his age, is not going to be able to have when trying to convince a jury. That also doesn't mean, though, trust me, without the rice, Carolyn might go out there and just butcher it and feel like she's losing control and that be it. So Carson could beat her at the end, but I think that she has the second best storyline. Now get rid of Jam Jam. And the way this is going, I don't think she's going to. Anyway.
You don't think she's going to what?
I don't think she's going to get rid of Jam Jam. I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think so. I don't think so. And not because, like, I don't think she could. I don't know if she necessarily wants to. And there's still so much time. There's still eight people left. But Tika finally, like, made their decision. And actually, I'm correcting myself. We actually see Carson being the middle of the middle this episode. Mm-hmm. And Carolyn saying, we have to get rid of Danny. We have to get rid of Danny. And for what it's worth, both Carolyn and Jam Jam wanted their two people gone for very personal reasons, which is obviously fine. But from our perspective, or from my perspective, I'm like, you got to get rid of Danny. What do you, like, why get rid of Kane? What is the reasoning there? And even, like, someone else said this, they were like, he's so low priority, which is such a backhanded thing to say, but it was helpful from a viewing perspective. But Jam Jam was still able to whip the votes and Carolyn was not.
Well, so here's why I think tonight happened. One, it gets rid of the extra vote. It paralyzes Lauren and Jamie now. Mm-hmm. Two, it gets Kane out of the game. And I think the fear with Kane was the likability factor. They don't know that Jamie's idol isn't real, but I do wonder if that information that Jamie gave Kane the idol got around to anybody. I would not be surprised if Carson, being close with Kane, or somebody was told. I would not be surprised at all. But number three, and this is the most important one that we're being left out of as the viewers, which I'm disappointed in, but I also kind of get it depending on where this goes. Mm-hmm. This is the most important one. Danny and Heidi are really freaking close with Jam Jam, Carolyn, and Carson. And the way I know this is Danny was mocking the vote that was cast for him to the jury.
Is that what that was? Yeah.
Yes. He was mocking that vote. And if you're not super confident in the fact that you're going to stay, you're not mocking that vote. Like, if you go back, because at first I was like, I don't know. I rewound it. He is mocking that vote.
At first I thought it was the, like, oh God, I'm going home. But because, like, we had the same reaction. I was like, oh, this is Danny. Mm-hmm. And then I found, and then, so it's Franny who voted for him. What happened there?
I don't know. No. It's Kane who voted for him. Franny voted for Jamie.
You're right. Yeah. Why did that happen? We'll get to that.
I think the reason it happened was because all of Ratu was told split the votes between Danny and Heidi. And what they did was they took Lauren's extra vote, and then, and Jamie and Lauren all voted for Heidi. And
the Kane second, was, both Lauren's. Or both,
yeah, Kane's, so that would, yeah, put it as three. And then Kane thought he was supposed to vote for Danny. And what was going to happen, what Jam Jam did that was really brilliant and is going to go overlooked because the vote ended up being a basic vote. This is brilliant by Jam Jam, and he's the one who brought it up. He made it so that he was actually the deciding vote for this tribal, no matter what happened. And here, I'll explain it, because it was, this is what I gathered. He made it so that Kane, himself, Carson, and Carolyn were all going to vote for Danny. So that would have put four votes on Danny. It was the three Tika, and it was Kane. Then he made it so that the women, plus Lauren's extra vote, which would make it three, were going to vote Heidi.
Mm-hmm.
And Soka was going to put all their votes on Kane. So it was going to be 4-3-3. But Jam Jam, by positioning it that way, ensures that if he doesn't actually want Danny to go home, all he has to do is write Kane's name down on the piece of paper, and it's a 4-3-3. Kane goes home. It was really well executed. I know I'm just throwing numbers out, but trust me, this was a really well executed move that ultimately didn't come to fruition. But that is, he was putting himself in a position where he wasn't just saying, okay, the Tikas will vote this way, and then the Ratus will vote this way with the extra vote, because then that gives all the power to the Ratus. Now the Ratus have the four. Mm-hmm. He made it so Kane had to vote with the Tikas. And because of that, it allowed them, him, to be able to say who he wanted to vote out. Ultimately, him and Carson and Carolyn are working incredibly close together, so they all ended up voting for Kane. But by positioning the split the way they did, it made it so that them and Danny were really the only ones who even had to vote for Kane.
I'm going to have to read that slower, but I believe you.
Yeah, so we need Andy Vogel in the chat to, like, type it out.
But, yes.
But it's one of those, like, I noticed it when he said it. I was like, he is making it so that he is the one who decides who goes home.
Wow.
And it was really well done. And he wanted it to be Kane the whole time. But Danny was, I turned to Rachel. I said, Danny's gone. And then he pointed at him. So he's like, me? And, like, you could, I was like, no, he's mocking them. And then the rest of the votes went. And I was like, he was that confident that he mocked that vote to the jury while the votes were still being read. And he was correct. That is really crazy. And I think we're not getting how close Soka and Tika are, because at the beginning of this episode, Jam Jam says, it went exactly according to plan. Ratu thinks I'm with them. I'm with Soka.
Exactly. Yeah. And it never really felt like, we see Tika spending more time with Ratu, but I never really believed, and this is, like, candidly, probably just a subconscious edit thing, I never believed that they were going to vote with the Ratu group. And there's a lot to talk about here, but Jamie's fake idol is gone. I think that is such poetic justice that all of these, I would, like, ridiculous fake idols, they never even see the light of day.
They never even see the light of day. I know. And I sit here and I watch that and I see that happen and I say, did Jamie ever know that her idol was fake until she started watching the show? Who was going to tell her?
I mean, you know, they talk after, but was it Sarah find out live? No, Sarah found out when she got home. I'm sure Jamie knows by now.
The only person, though, the interesting thing is the only person who could have told her is Matthew. He's the only one who knows.
Oh, she'd have to go, like, double backwards. Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet she knows, but it would be bananas if she found that out as soon as she watched that. But we finally saw talk of, we were talking about this with Jesse a few days ago, but we finally saw talk of, okay, there might be an Knowledge is Power. We need to start trading things around. So I missed this. Lauren gave Jamie her extra vote and they did that. So that's, this also worked out. And maybe that's why Tika ends up going with Sokka anyway. There's so much more to flush on the Ratu side. They got rid of everything. So now Lauren and Jamie are just sitting ducks.
And that's, I think, what the biggest key was and why they probably sided with Sokka in this instance is because Ratu had everything.
Yeah.
Idol and extra vote. Sokka has nothing. They don't know Heidi found an idol, which we'll talk about. Franny's safe. And they know Danny doesn't have anything. Or they're at least, they don't know if Danny found an idol. They don't know that Heidi actually found the idol. But they know for a fact, because Jamie said it in this episode and somebody else said it, they know for a fact that she has an idol, even though we know it's fake. They don't know it's fake. And they know for a fact that Lauren has an extra vote. You need to weaken them. Now, though, what's interesting is Tika could say, let's work with Jamie and Lauren. Let's vote out Danny or Franny or Heidi. Like, I'm not thinking Danny's safe next week by any means. But I do think that for Tika, this was absolutely the correct move. I think it was absolutely the correct move because they get rid of all of the ammunition and they remain in the middle. And Sokka is feeling really, really close to them right now. They are feeling.
Do you think they're in the middle still? I don't think they're in the middle.
I think the reason they are in the middle is because they've almost made the Sokka 3 dependent on them. And I think that's why Sokka, I don't think, would see it coming this week, just like Ratu didn't see it coming this. Like, Sokka won't see it coming next week the same way Ratu didn't see it coming this week.
And next week, I'm like, not to jump too far ahead, Danny and Franny are your two immunity challenge people to look out for. And those are both on Sokka. So it's very easy for them to go over to Jamie and Lauren and say, hey, guys, Franny keeps winning immunities. Danny keeps almost winning immunities. We got to get rid of one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree. I think now you're not worried about Jamie or Lauren beating you. I don't know if that's fair or not, but I think if you're Tika, you're not that worried about that. Even though Ratu's over there, you're the ones getting rid of them. Sokka is the power group, but they are easily bested right now because now you have two people who are so desperate. And we saw Franny talking about, I want to work with Ratu. Let's get rid of one of the Tikas. And Danny shot it down pretty quickly. Play with your head, not your heart. But is Franny onto something? Is that something that's going to come to fruition next week and they're going to take down a Tika? Maybe. But I see it more as Tika has positioned themselves really well where Sokka feels super comfortable. And now they can go over to Ratu and totally blindside one of the three bigger threats in this game.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, we see Franny realizing it before everybody else does. And I don't think it's too little too late. I think it's close to being that. We see that in the next time on Survivor where I think they're like, you see Lauren and Danny talking and the two of them, I feel like, have wanted each other out for a while. Next week, they have to get rid of Atika or else they're completely toast. So yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what happens there. And also, Heidi, we've talked about her a bunch. I put this in my notes, which pretty much means it's strictly fact. Heidi is actually the first person to say Kane's name tonight. She goes to Tika and says Kane. And it could be one of the things where Jam Jam is already thinking it, but this is another sneaky big episode for Heidi. She gets an idol. Everyone else, nobody knows, right? Nobody knows about her idol, allegedly.
Nobody knows about her idol, although she did whisper sweet nothings in Danny's ear at the live tribal. So maybe, but I'm going to say this, and I've said this, this is the kiss of death. Right? It is the kiss of death. I said it for Jesse. I said it for Omer. I didn't say it for anybody in 41. Heidi understands the game the best out of everybody on that island. I don't know if that means she's going to win. I don't think the edit's there for her to win. I'd be very surprised if with the edit she got, but maybe, hey, maybe they're editing her like an ode to Erica because we're all dying for a second Erica. But she is playing really freaking good. And much more subtly than a Jam Jam, what she wants to happen is happening. She is in the know all the time. And she's doing it in a very reserved, very calm way that I think just doesn't translate incredibly well to TV. But I personally believe from a survivor standpoint, I get every season there's a different thing that's going to get you to win. But from a survivor standpoint, I think she is playing the best game on the island. She, her emotions aren't in it. Like Jam Jam voted out Kane tonight because Kane voted for him. Like that's what happened. Heidi to me feels like she is just playing the game very logically. She knows where the numbers are. She's doing what she needs to do. I think one of the best examples of this, and I know your thing cut out briefly, so I'll kind of give you the play-by-play here. But one of the best examples of this was when they showed up at that immunity challenge. And she said, look, because of the weather and everything like that, did anybody have a change of heart? I know people weren't looking to sit out, but did anybody have a change of heart? Now, in this moment, Heidi already knows she's going to sit out if three people come. She knows it. She has her idol. She doesn't feel like she's in danger. She knows she's probably not going to win the challenge. She's ready to sit out. But she makes it so that everybody else has to go through it first. Mm-hmm. So that she's not the one who has to sit out. And then when Jamie almost does it, Kane talks Jamie out of it. And I was like, okay, good move for Jamie to like be like, no, I can't do this. That was a very solid moment for Jamie. But then Heidi immediately raises her hand and says, I'll do it, Jeff. Because the whole time she knew she was going to do it if she had to, but she was going to make sure that there was no possible way they were going to get the numbers unless it was with her. She started the conversation with Jeff and she ended the conversation with Jeff.
Yeah.
She understands people's mentality. She understands this game. I don't think she has the edit to win, but she is playing an incredibly good game. She just might not be the right, she might not be on the right season for her.
Yeah, I feel like if the edit was there, it would be a Jam Jam kind of edit. Like,
that's how it feels to me.
Exactly. And I'm going to make my first complaint in 21 minutes. I think the word negotiation is deeply, deeply incorrect. I don't think a negotiation, first of all, like planning a negotiation in advance, like production being like, come ready to negotiate, I don't think that's what that is. It's come do the thing that Lauren, her eyes rolled out of her face. She was like, so we're doing the thing where you got to submit four people to be executed. Like that's not, and also to be fair to production, the players didn't even try to negotiate. Like, what did they ask for? Are they even allowed to? Because Jeff keeps being like, come, like, this is a negotiation, but give me four people and there's nothing else to do. Like, it's so... Angelina built this and this was not what this was supposed to be. Like, now it's just like they come to Jeff. Don't plan. What I would do to watch Angelina do that all over again, instead of Jeff be like, come over and sacrifice four people and there's no room for wiggle room.
I totally agree. I think this has played it out. It's ran its course and they need to get rid of it. It's done. It's not fun to watch. It's not fun from a viewing perspective either. Like tonight, Danny's 100% right. Like, you can go 30 days without eating. Like, you can.
Carson may have died, but otherwise you it's know okay. What?
As they say in Lost, he was the sacrifice the island needed. Like, that's all it is. Like, sorry, Carson.
He looked like that. When he was talking about how hungry he was, I was like, this man needs... all the IVs that Bruce and Brandon got.
I was going to say, Lauren O'Connell literally fell over in a challenge and just full on passed out. Carson's going to be fine. Like, he's going to be fine. So I just think, like, it's lost its pizzazz. If it ever even had pizzazz, right? Angelina did it. She inked it. And it was really that. Like, it's lost that. And... now we like they're coming in and it's not Jeff. What if we give you two? What if we give you three? We know the number is four. Wow, that's so much fun. I'm gonna go buy this car that's 40% off for $30,000. And then the guy's gonna then it's gonna be like, oh, well, what if I get it for like 25.9? No, it's gonna be 30.
Yeah,
that's not a negotiation.
Because I told you it's 30, and
That's the price. Like, we're not in the streets haggling. We are walking into a business. You don't walk into Starbucks and say, what if I give you $250?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what this is. And I'm over it. I think it's stupid. I think it's boring. I think they went one season too long with it. And I don't think we're going to see it in 45. I think
Jeff, I kind of forgot it was a thing.
Yeah, and I think Jeff's as numb to it as we are. I think he realizes, like, ew, that's not working right now. I mean, they couldn't make it exciting, which is why, as messed up as this is going to sound, they couldn't make it exciting, which is why I think the moment belonged to Heidi, because there was no way to really do anything differently with it. Heidi has the least confessionals out of everybody left in the game, and this was like her second big moment of the – I mean, obviously her big moment was finding the idol, but this was kind of like a big moment for her. So I just think that – they don't know what to do with it. And when you don't know what to do with it, put it out to pasture. Like, we're done.
Absolutely. Goodbye. Yeah. And it was, again, this came on the heels of this really awesome new or old school, like, we're playing I Spy. Carolyn's talking about her life. And then Tree Mail comes. I'm like, oh my God, what season are we in?
Yeah.
And the Tree Mail says, come ready to negotiate by giving me four people.
Yeah.
And like the conversation is interesting. Like Danny feeling very much the way that he felt of no negotiate. Let's play. If you like, you're giving up if you're weak. That to me was like the most interesting part. Like that debate that happened at tribal council later on.
Yeah.
But don't call it a negotiation. It's no negotiation.
Yeah. It's not a negotiation. And here's what I'll say, right? To production, dear production. No matter how competitive everybody on Survivor is, throw them up on a perch very similar to Survivor Amazon. Don't do what they did in Australia because that's going to go on for days. But similar to the one they did in Survivor Amazon where Roger Sexton actually just fell off. He couldn't stand on it. It was too thin. So make it a little difficult. Don't make it so that people like Rupert are going to collapse immediately. But make it uncomfortable. Make it uncomfortable on the feet. And start walking out with Oreos and start walking out with start walking out with pizza. And I'm sorry if it's going to be a 12-hour challenge. It is going to make phenomenal TV. It doesn't cost you much. You're only going to have two camera people out there anyway. You don't need fancy angles for that. You need somebody to watch Jeff and somebody to watch the challenge. And that's it. Do it the day before a tribal. Who cares how long it goes? Let it go long. That's the type of negotiation that Survivor fans want to watch.
And that's the for whatever reason, unsolvable auction problem. If you don't even want to do that, if you don't even want to figure out the one way to fix the auction, it's extremely easy. Everyone else has figured it out. Yeah. If you don't want to do that, give us the halfway of like, if someone's standing up there for 13 hours, and fine, 2 hours, and Jeff's like, here's a margarita. I would jump right off and take that margarita. And I will laugh at and support whoever jumps off and gets that. And that's like, it's the same exact thing. And that's tempting. That's forcing people to be competitive. I want to see Danny roll his eyes at somebody jumping off for a margarita. That's easy.
I mean,
Oreos are like $12.
That's what I'm saying, right? Like, and they don't even have to get Oreos. Get the Fiji brand, right? Get the Fiji brand cookie. Like, it's just, when I look at this, I think about like Jenna and Heidi posed in Playboy nude because of that, right? Like, because of we're going to get naked for chocolate and peanut butter. It was a pretty big moment. Like, we saw Tina Wesson probably make one of the best strategic moves of the first 5 seasons of the show. Just by saying, fine, Keith, I will step down because you have more votes against you and that's going to keep you safe. And Tina goes on to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is what I'm talking about. There is so much going on there. And if you want to say, oh, well, they're going to stand up there too long. They care too much. It's a different game. Human beings don't change that much. You tempt them with the right thing, they're going to jump. And at the end of the day, you've already proven that 4 people were willing to do it. And Janie pretty much had her hand in the air. So if more than half the tribe...
For something lame.
To eat rice. Now you're going to say, here's a pizza, here's beer, here's this, here's that. You might get 4 people who hold out for a pretty long time. But guess what? There's going to be something for everybody. We're eventually going to say, I'm cold, I'm wet, I'm tired of being here. What do you got for me, Jeff? It's going to happen.
Absolutely. And they, oh God, where am I going to go? Oh, it's not like the immunity challenges are anything other than balancing anyway right now. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's, I mean, this is just like a kind of a problem that was self-created, but most challenges don't go 10 hours. Like, most aren't going to do that. But I feel like Jeff's like, you've been doing this for 4.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's, it's quick. And I get it. Your seasons are shorter now, but that didn't have to, it doesn't have to happen.
It doesn't. You're 100% right. I mean, you're 100%. Like, I get that we're on a tight
time budget.
Time frame, whatever. Time constraint. Thank you. Have them do the challenge on the off day and then make the next day tribal council. These aren't hard things, right? I get like some of the crew has to have off and stuff like that. But on these short days, on these shortened seasons, they're probably all not getting paid the same amount they were. If you're a dream teamer, you're not out there as long. So you're probably not getting paid the same amount of money on all these things. I think it makes sense to try something like this. The negotiation is dead, but it never got old to watch people jump for this kind of food or whatever it is. And especially with this old school, we're not eating, everybody's starving, which we all know is baloney because other than Carson, everybody's like, fine. You give me a huge plate of nachos, man, my stomach's going to talk a lot louder than my brain in those first 15 seconds. You tell me I have 15 seconds to decide, I'm probably going to jump.
And remember, even season 39, which feels like 100,000 years ago and was 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
4 years ago, yeah.
The breakfast, even that was in, yeah. Well, and I know that like the whole point was to have Nora or whoever, Lauren, convince people, but that was interesting. Like even the, will you give up for this horrifying mound of pizza, circle yes or no? Like even that was more interesting. And I like that. That's simple. I just think the negotiation like takes away the, man, I really need a hash brown right now. I really want some nachos. Like I want them to crave what I crave. And I eat a lot of rice, but like I want my mouth to be watering with them and it doesn't.
Yeah. No, I agree. I totally agree. Yeah. I mean, like, okay, I'm doing this because Jam Jam's up there, but like, have you ever had a mofongo?
No.
It's like a Puerto Rican thing. It's freaking delicious.
Let me look this up.
You give me a mofongo, I'm jumping off. I don't know if that means Jam Jam is. I'm not trying to be like, but like, these are the types of things like get creative, right? Like get creative.
That's really good.
It's amazing. Like, let's get creative with this stuff.
Oh, I have had. Oh, yeah.
What are your top five things that you want to eat? And you know what? If I don't even know what that is, all Jeff has to do is say, it's crispy, it's fried, and in the middle is chicken. And I'm going to be like, damn, I don't even know what the hell that is, but I'm going to jump off and eat it. Like,
I knew you were going to say chicken wings.
Yeah, like there's a way to get us to do this stuff. There's a if way to tap Applebee's. In. Yeah, and there's a way to make it interesting.
There is a way to make it interesting. Make people jump off for Outback Steakhouse. They've never done that. Why is that the best idea I've ever had?
I know.
Like, no. Make them jump in like Applebee's especially because it's such a like meme at this point. You're telling me there isn't anyone who wouldn't jump off for Applebee's, whether or not they've had that? Like, the way that Jeff talks about a shark bowl, they look disgusting, but I'd have one.
I need a headache, so I'm going to drink a shark bowl.
That's yeah, I need some sugar in me.
Yeah, my head hurts. Let's beat it up.
Yeah.
No, I think there are ways to fix this. I think because this was a really good episode. Like, I will say this.
Yes, one
of the better episodes in recent memory because it felt like I was watching a different era of Survivor. Yep. I really felt like I was watching a different era of Survivor, right? We had a recap of what happened the night before. We had a great bounce around. We had Danny talking about it went exactly to plan. Lauren talking about how it didn't go to plan and she lost her guy. And then we have Jam Jam say, that was exactly what I wanted, which is exactly what we've been talking about all week of was Jam Jam in on this? And sure enough, he was. And it was great. He made it happen. And so we had all that. We had the conversation about just like, real life stuff, being bored out there. What are we going to do? I even liked Carson's confessional about I'm playing Survivor. It's okay. Like it feels good to hear that stuff. Even if we get that, that's the same talking point as the first 25 seasons of the show, but it felt so refreshing. It was a good challenge. It was a good conversation. Danny seemed like the obvious boot because he seems like he's a likable guy who's also a threat from a physical standpoint. And yet he stayed in the game, not because of idols and advantages, but because he got the numbers on his side.
Yeah.
It felt so old school, but this is just one thing where it's like, change this moving forward. This is an easy fix. They are clearly listening to us. I don't know if it means us or our, like whatever, but they're listening to somebody, whether it's Rob, whether it's anyone else, Dalton, Gordon Holmes. I don't know. I don't care if it's Mike Bloom, whoever it is, they are listening. And we need to keep saying what we really feel because they are trying to make those changes. I said after the final 11 boot, when Matt went home and it was the stupid split, I said, if that's the last really stupid production interference we have and the rest of the season kind of follows a normal format, I'm all in. And so far since that episode, the last two episodes have been very, very good. Don't fuck it up.
I heard they changed the episodes because they've been listening to you, Phil. They changed. They had last this week and last week all planned out, and they said, "You know what?
Yeah,
I've been yelling a little louder. We got to switch it around." But I completely agree. There, I mean, I'm gonna go a few different ways here. Like Phil and I, you know, we watch the episode. We have like a 3-minute grace period, and then we hop on and we chit chat for anywhere between like 10 seconds to like 3 minutes before we go live. And in recent years, we hop on and just like rage fit for a second and then we go live. The past 2 weeks, we've hopped on and like, I was like, okay, let's go.
Let's talk.
And it felt weird. I felt weird like not saying anything to you beforehand. But I was like, oh no, I just digested this episode and we're going to talk about it. And it's almost like so odd to me. But there's so many aspects of this season, especially early on, that I have rolled my eyes at and I've complained about. But now that we're talking it out, and especially within the context of Jeff's podcast and him like giving us a little bit of insider information, they are, you know, as much as there's a lot that they're not listening to, there's a fundamental disagreement on show format. That is going to be the largest problem. But I mean, this is probably more of a player thing, but until tonight, we hadn't seen any whispering at tribal council and we got subtitles, which was like unbelievable to watch that come out of Jam Jam's mouth. That was so good. But we don't have the sob stories in the sense of we're just sticking them in and that's it. And we're not feeling that's gone. I felt so much when Carolyn spoke and I felt so much when Franny related to that. They are like, we're getting character moments and there's actually quite a bit this season, especially with Tika.
Yeah.
They're like, things are getting better. Just the fundamental problem that fans, I think, see is never going to change.
No, it never is. And we just have to understand that. But
right.
Like,
we have to choose how much we care.
But like much. This final 10 and final 9 episode, I'm so satisfied.
I feel
and
great.
That's how I want to feel on a Wednesday night at 9:40 at night. I want to feel satisfied. I was very happy with it. I thought there's no way Danny's going to survive this. We got a little bit of whispering, but it wasn't to the extent of whatever happened in Edge of Extinction, where we tried to pretend that that was worth wasting 30 minutes on just so Julia could go home, who we didn't know anyway.
Yeah.
Like, this made sense. And I liked it. And I liked it. I actually did like the question Jeff asked. Would you rather play a crazy chaotic game like this, or would you rather play a quiet game? But the funny thing is,
I had such an opinion about that.
Here's what the funny thing in my estimation is. He asked Kane that. And Kane says what he did. And then he asked Danny and Danny goes, yeah, sure. Chaotic. Uh-huh. Like whatever. Like Danny is so over, like Danny's not trying to play Survivor again. We talk about this all the time. He doesn't care. He does not care if they're sitting there going, oh, Danny, like you're saying exactly. He's not Coach Wade, but some people would rather play a more chaotic game. Russell Hance certainly wanted to when he played back in season 19, but some people do want to play the quiet game. And it's just kind of down to preference. So you ask Kane that. Kane thinks he's in an RPG. Kane definitely wants to play a chaotic game because RPGs aren't fun unless it's chaotic. So it's just, it's interesting who you ask, but I know what your answer is because it's the same as mine.
My problem with it is because I don't think, like, I think the words quiet and chaotic were interpreted extremely, I feel like this was Jeff saying, see, they like the craziness, but craziness isn't what our craziness is, not what his craziness is. I think that's the thing. Jeff's like, see, it's boring if there's not like all these advantages and all these idols. No, a chaotic game is fun if the players make it chaotic.
Yeah.
So but that I when he asked that question, I was like, I can't be a part of this.
Well, because tonight was kind of chaotic, right?
Tonight was the perfect chaotic.
Yeah.
Beautiful chaotic.
All done by the players.
Right. And I don't think that is I don't think that is the point that is getting across to the people who it should get across to.
There you go, Alexa. How do you feel about this?
Who's Abby?
I don't. Oh, I think he means Abby Maria, I think.
Oh, who's who?
Yeah. Well, he's saying that's a fun game. Totally chaotic and you're a meh quiet game. So wait, who is
Abby? Forrest, please clarify that. But that, if I were to ever play, I feel like I would play. I'm not like a particularly chaotic person, but I would enjoy being a part of a chaotic game that you made for me. I'd love to clean up your mess. I don't want to clean up production.
If I had to say, and I'm totally pushing this onto you, and then you can tell me who I would be like, but if you're on this season, you are playing similar to Lauren and Heidi. You,
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, you will like know what's going on. You'll know when you're getting screwed. Lauren knows that she got hammered tonight. Now she's like, shit, what do I have to do? Like, these are intelligent people, but they also don't want to play the jam game where their name is the one that's coming up all the time. They don't want to be the first. And like, you're not going to go out for revenge and whatever. You're more passive aggressive than aggressive. Jam is aggressive. Yeah. And Carson,
he's like both.
Carson's like passive aggressive, right? Like, he's kind of, oh no, we can do this. It'll be okay. And then slash, you're dead. Like, I just think like there's different ways to play the game. And Jeff wants it so badly to be one specific way,
mm-hmm.
but it never will be. And there's for every single, like Marianne, we're always going to have a Gabler. Like, there's always going to be somebody behind that who does play a quieter game. We see a lot of quiet game winners. Not going to get Tony every year. Thank God. Everyone shouldn't be like that.
Yeah, exactly. And Erica wins. Like, Erica's win. Let them win and don't act like they don't exist.
Yeah.
So go Heidi.
Yeah. What do you see any way that somebody other than Jam Jam, Carolyn or Carson win this game? Are you buying that Franny, Danny, Lauren, Jamie, or Heidi can win this game?
I could buy Franny and that's it.
Yeah.
I think Carson is like kind of falling out a little bit, but I think if he was at the final three, I think he could totally win. But it seems like Jam is completely pulling away with this. And I would go like Jam, Franny and Carson kind of tied. And then Carolyn. And then I don't know. I don't actually think that Danny could win.
I agree with you. I think Danny, while he's been very fun, he doesn't have enough protection. I love what he said tonight, though. You could play a safe game or any of that, but you got to play to win. And like, I had to make that move. I had to play my idol for Franny so that I could win the game. Now it'll be interesting. Does Heidi ever tell Danny that she has the idol? I honestly think if Heidi, I forget who tweeted it, but somebody tweeted the picture of the horse where it looks like it's drawn by like a 3-year-old. And then by the end, it's like all drawn.
Oh, I love that meme. And it's like, this is like, Heidi.
It was Heidi pre-merge versus Heidi post-merge.
Oh, that's so exciting.
And if Heidi didn't have two episodes where she got nothing, I'd probably be sitting here saying Heidi can absolutely win this game. But she had two episodes where she got absolutely nothing. Every time that something important has happened, Heidi has been at the center of it.
It's amazing. And it's frustrating because like, I don't think a lot of people see that. And I don't think a lot of people know that. And I get it. Jam, Carolyn, like they are, you could watch a season of just the two of them for however many weeks Survivor is on. But like, if Heidi ends up getting to the final three, it's like, they could have given us more because I think that she has a really good chance to win, but I know she's not going to win.
That's how I feel. And I think what's going to happen.
And that sucks. Like, that sucks because I really like her.
I think what's going to be unfortunate with Heidi is I feel like she's not going to win. And I don't know where she, I mean, she could get six, she could get seven, she could be out next week. But I feel like Heidi's not going to win and people are going to very much forget about her. Or if she does get to the end, they're going to say, nah, she didn't play that good. See, she lost. I think Heidi's playing a very good game. I just think her difficulty is also going to be, who is she sitting next to at the end? I think she can beat anybody from Soka. I think she can beat anybody from Ratu. The hard part is, can you beat Jam Jam? Can you beat Carolyn? Can you beat Carson? That's what I worry for her. And if she goes and sits next to Jam Jam and Carson, and she loses 5-4-0, that doesn't mean Heidi played a terrible game. That just means that she sat with the wrong people. Mm-hmm. I think Heidi's playing a very good game, but she's not playing the apex predator game. She's not playing the, no matter who I sit next to, I'm going to beat. The one thing that scares me, though, if I'm everybody else on this island, Heidi can talk. She doesn't talk like Carson. She doesn't talk like Jam Jam. She doesn't talk like Carolyn. She doesn't talk like Danny, who's always trying to make you laugh. But Heidi can talk. And I think that really works in her favor if she can get to a final tribal. What's her job? Is she a lawyer?
She's an engineering manager.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
The natural progression. No, she's, but that's a, cool. Like, that is a job. I think I said this in the preseason. Like, that is a job that has to have a lot of different communication skills and be able to, like, typically, I'm making like some huge assumptions here, but like you have to manage all different types of people. And typically when you hear about engineers, like, you think like coding and not so much the people and the management aspect, but she does both, which is crazy.
It's insane. Yeah. So I think she's very good. Maybe she's not connecting with everybody as much as we want. I do think she gets Jamie's vote, though, at the end, if she's sitting there. Like, I think Heidi has
Lauren,
But I just worry that with her edit, I don't see it. Lauren, same thing. I think Lauren's playing fine. I don't see it with her edit. Poor freaking Jamie is just getting clowned, man. Like, everything she does, it's like, play the dunce music. I still have my, I mean, we had like a minute long confessional.
She her said being like, it
I
like five
can't
times.
Believe I have it. I can't believe I have it. This is amazing. This is amazing. Now she loses it. She's going to be heartbroken. But really, we're sitting there kind of laughing at her, not with her. Like, that, she is.
Yeah.
That's a rough edit.
I actually, at the beginning, I felt that way, because that confessional, I was like, okay, like, I feel bad for her. Like, just stop it.
Yeah.
And actually, at this tribal council, I was like, she's got like guts of steel. Because she probably thinks she's going home and she's not playing what she thinks is her idol. Like, to that, I'm like, good for her.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I know. But now it's all, now it's gone. Like, none of it mattered.
I can't wait to see her reaction and us just sit there. And it'll, whatever music plays for Jamie next week will tell you if she's going home next week at final seven or if she actually can go to final three.
Do you know what's, I'm someone who's always been cool with this, you know, the new final, what am I saying? Not the new finale format. Mm-hmm. We are going to get no interesting content about this because Jamie won't know. Yep. And that is like, there could have been a whole segment. She's going to have no idea. And that's like, you know, that feels wasted.
We're missing so much not having that stuff. Like, I want to sit down. I want to talk to them. I want to talk to Jamie. I want to sit down. I want to talk to them. What was going through your head? What's going on? I want to know.
Yeah.
I really do. I think it's a bummer that we don't get to know that stuff because corners have been cut. Now we'll get to know that stuff because I'm going to be hammered asking them, but I want to know. I want
Absolutely.
To know.
Absolutely.
It's a shame. It really is. It's a bummer, but what are we going to do? We have to take small baby steps, right? This small episode steps. Felt like they were listening to people complain as much as they don't want to admit they listen to people complain.
Yeah. And I think it ended beautifully with, I clearly don't know FCC rules well enough, but Kane's last words were bitches. And I was like, wow, love that. Didn't see that one coming.
What's my favorite thing in the world? You can say ass, but you can't say whole.
Oh, yeah, they always,
They bleep out whole, but the person says ass. You would think it would be bleep out ass and keep whole. It's very funny.
It's like, what's that Panic at the Disco song? The close in the blank.
Why are we saying damn and not God? A lot of songs say God. Yeah, it's very funny. Anyway,
but that's for another podcast.
That's where we're getting distracted and we're talking about bitches. But
we are so excited to continue on this season 43 train for our predictions and power rankings. We are very excited to welcome James Jones from Survivor season 43 to the podcast. He is going to be predicting the final eight with us. Crazily enough, we are at the final eight. We're on the home stretch here. He's going to be joining us this Monday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern.
It is 5:30. I do have to throw this up, Mr.
Mason. I forgot about that.
She can't say S, she says ass. Amazing.
I love that. Yes. I know. What a wild start and finish to this episode. But we're so excited to have James come join us. Someone we've been wanting to talk to for a little bit. So tune in for that. For those of you who are $5 patrons, we are going to be recording our Q&A right after this. So you can expect to see that hit your Patreon inboxes within the next few hours. Phil will be doing his after show. I am not sure when, so I'm going to defer
that. Maybe not till Saturday or Sunday. It's going to be a little late this week, probably Sunday actually. So just stay tuned for that. I will get it out, but it'll be on Sunday.
That you heard it here first, people. Become a patron. We just did a really fun retrospective/prospective about 90-minute episodes. There was a conversation between Jeff and Dalton Ross about Jerry's potentially watching immunity challenges. Tell us what you think. Become a patron, join our Discord. $1, $5, $10, $20, whatever you got, we'll take it.
Quick announcement for that one. If you haven't seen every season of Survivor, don't listen to that episode.
Yeah, it's extremely spoily.
I spoil everything. Literally everything. So don't listen to that if you haven't watched every season, but still become a patron. We're talking to James. That'll be really fun. We'll find out if his voice is as gravelly as it sounded at Tribal Council. Bye, everybody.
Stay tuned, everybody. Bye-bye.